I'm Peter Medlin, and you are listening to Teacher's Lounge. And if this is your very first time hearing our show, I've got good news for you. It's based on a really simple idea that we've all had teachers in our lives who helped us become who we are today. And every educator we have on this podcast, whether you're a teacher, coach, or professor, is nominated by the folks who listen. So we want you to be a part of this show with us. Please tell us about the educators who've inspired you and the folks in your community who deserve a spotlight. You can email us with your nominations at teacherslounge@niu.edu. But today on the show, it's time to put students in the spotlight. You've probably heard me mention that Teacher's Lounge is also a monthly radio show over on WNIJ. You can listen the last Friday of the month at noon, and then the next day, that Saturday morning at 6 a.m. And that show has exclusive segments you typically don't get on the podcast. And one of them is our student correspondent segment. It's where we follow a group of students in a club, sport, or activity. And over the past few years, we've highlighted students starring in their school's first play in over a decade, a school's inaugural esports season. We learned about FFA students' passion for agriculture and followed a speech team's quest for a state title. And this fall, our student correspondents were, well, actual correspondents. They were the reporters and editors from Canelan High School's award-winning student-run magazine, the Canelan Crier. Now, as you can imagine, this was a particularly fun one for me. It really reminded me how I fell in love with journalism and how much student media meant to me when I was in college. So it was really cool to see these high schoolers figure everything out, pour everything they've got into making the best magazine they can. And I saw them stressing over edits and the relief of hitting their deadline and the fun that comes along with doing all this with your friends. And we'll talk about the stories they're most proud of, how they fell in love with journalism, and so much more. But we start out early in the school year with our first check-in way back in September. I'm here at one of the school year's first editorial meetings, which is also a class. The Crier's not a journalism after-school club. This is a real course, but one where the students mainly run the show, making sure events are staffed, stories are edited, and that they'll hit their deadline for their first print magazine of the year. Yeah, a print magazine created by teenagers in 2025. It's real old media meets new media. It's pretty fascinating, and editor-in-chief Emma Weintraub says that makes them pretty unique.
Every single one of Canelan students gets a copy of the Crier because every student has to take an English class, so that's how we distribute it. So, like, when brainstorming stories and when choosing stories, like, the question that, like, I try to keep in the back of my mind is, like, would a 16-year-old want to read this story?
Now, of course, they're not just a print publication. They're 15 and 16. It would be pretty strange if they weren't on social media. Not to mention, that's just how media works now.
We have a TikTok that's normally more like fun, casual, like asking people fun questions in our school. And then Twitter we normally use for live updating games. So I just covered Canelan's soccer game last night.
Their socials are actually why news editor Alina Arifai joined the Crier.
I was really pushed by the TikToks. I thought those were so cool.
So you were just a fan.
Yeah. Of freshman year, I loved the TikTok ideas, and I joined last year, and I learned that there's so much more to journalism than just the TikToks that I saw.
I'm Bobby Levy,
and I'm Evan Wilden,
and this is the Crier Sports Wire.
The Crier also creates videos on Canelan sports. And naturally, they're getting into the podcast game.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the fourth episode of the Crier Unplugged podcast. I'm Ellie.
I'm Kate, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the school lunch line.
In fact, their teacher, Dominic Bruno, says they had 40 Journalism 1 students this year, and about 30 of them want a new podcast, but it's still a work in progress. But the Crier itself is a really established program. They've been around for a long time, and the program has grown a lot, especially in Bruno's close to a decade running things.
A lot of high school programs don't have a journalism class. It's just like an after-school club. So my first goal was to raise the numbers that were in the program. A few years after my first year, I think it was my third or fourth year, so many kids were taking journalism that it was my whole day.
He says they're at a point now where they actually have to scale back because there's too many students for not enough positions, and it means that their newsroom is pretty big. In fact, strangely enough, bigger than a lot of professional news operations. And Bruno says he tries to run the Crier like a professional outfit. They're more of a community news outlet rather than just a school news outlet, and they've got students covering everything from the soccer team to how tariffs are hitting local businesses. Now, you may not know, but journalism is a competitive high school sport in Illinois. You can be an all-state journalist. And, you know, in sports like football, there are divisions based on school sizes, but not in journalism. Bruno says their small school competes against some of the biggest schools in the state.
So I have to submit a sectional roster. You make selections from your staff to fit different categories. So I'll pick my top news writer to be the news writing sectional contestant. And then, there's infographic design, there's advertising, headline writing. I mean, there's so many categories.
Yeah, there are a lot of categories, but with so many students, it does create a lot of internal competition for folks like Emma who want to make state.
I won for editorial writing at sectionals and I didn't place at state. So like that would be a personal goal of mine, but it's like I'm a naturally competitive person, so I would love to be placing as a team at state, but also it's not why I do it. I don't think it's why anybody does it.
It's not why they do it, but it is gratifying when their hard work is recognized, and until 2 years ago, they had never won a sectional title, but now they are back-to-back champs.
When we won the sectional 2 years ago, this room, I was worried the computers were going to get broken. The kids just screaming, throwing water bottles, just going insane. And that's what I came into because I was watching across the hall. But I could hear it in here. I knew we had won. And it was one of the rowdiest celebrations I've ever seen. And it's just right in the middle of the school day.
We are on to October, where we've done the get-to-know-yous, and this time we are in the middle of magazine production and the newsroom's a flurry of folks checking edits, graphics, and photos. We're on deadline here at the Crier, only a few days out from when their next print issue is due, so the top editors like Emma and Sophia are huddled in the newsroom, scanning a PDF of the issue for any and all errors. It can be a hectic week, but all things considered, they're feeling pretty good.
I would say, stress is definitely like a little bit less like this day than I think any other day because we're very close to the end.
Yeah, and it's like a good feeling to be done.
A couple days ago, maybe it was a little bit more. Or?
Yeah, so this whole week has been our PDFing week. We changed what needs to be changed. For example, like this issue, we ended up having to just like edit our voices question just because people didn't want to answer the other one, which is just adapting always to people.
But no like glaring holes that we were trying to fill at the last minute or anything like that.
But definitely you never know.
It's not the same every issue, but
sometimes it's a little.
This one we did a good job with.
October 17th.
Across the hall, editors Evan and Bobby put together a sports broadcast.
With a walk-off field goal from senior Noah McKittrick.
This is a weekly show they produce recapping Caneland sports, and they cover everything, not just football. Evan says they have reporters often out covering two or three games or activities in a week to make sure they're sharing their spotlight.
Thank you for watching.
And tune in next time
to the Crier Sports Wire.
One take.
Yeah. That one's muscle memory. That one.
Yeah, we do all that right. One every episode.
And Bobby's also turning around a feature story for the upcoming print issue.
Like a former number one prospect in the entire state, baseball, who went to Caneland and is still pitching. He pitched in the MLB, and then he had a crazy journey. Now he's pitching for the Kane County Cougars.
In another classroom, junior Prima Weechen has already sent in her print story, so while other folks are anxious on deadline, she's trying to expand her newsroom repertoire.
I've also been trying to improve my design skills because I just want to get more familiar so that I don't struggle at all because it could get stressful, so I don't want it to be stressful, so I'm working on designing. And then he also gave me a prompt for feature because I want to be able to get better at feature writing and hopefully get to like sectionals or compete.
Prima's written the Crier's past two center spread articles, which she says has been really exciting, and she's kind of caught the journalism bug now as she thinks about her own future.
It's in my top two careers that I want to do, yeah. And that just started this year, me being like this, like invested in it, yeah.
Back in the newsroom, we've only got a few minutes before the bell rings and everyone has to hurry to their next class. And as they look at all the different sections, different voices and stories, Sophia's proud of their staff. Around 50 students from all walks of life make up the Crier. Sophia and editor-in-chief Emma are both seniors, so they've been thinking a lot about what this team means to them as they put the finishing touches on the issue and send it off to their graphics team for another check.
I'm thankful it's over. Not gonna lie, but it is very like, as you get like more into the year, it's like, it's sad, like it will eventually end. So you like, I enjoy.
Their work is done, and right on cue, the bell rings.
We're feeling relieved now. Like, this is gonna be a good weekend.
I know, it's gonna be great.
Time for AP Bio.
Oh yes, I go to art.
Now we're already into November, where we wanted to talk more in depth about how becoming a student journalist has changed how they perceive and interact with the news in their daily life. And on top of that, the magazine is also working on two separate projects at the same time. Since we're now a few months into the school year, the less experienced Crier students are taking on more and more responsibility, and they have to, because like I said, we're juggling two simultaneous projects, two simultaneous deadlines. Their advisor, Dominic Bruno, is letting them take the reins on their upcoming print issue while the top editors are writing and designing a special winter edition of The Crier. And while they work on the new issue, they still carve out time to celebrate the previous one. They always vote on a story of the issue and a graphic and design of the issue.
And the story of the issue was one that was really challenging to write and about a very sensitive topic. These are never easy. Congratulations to Alina.
That sensitive story was about Kevin Larson, a Caneland teacher who unexpectedly died this fall, and one of their news editors, Alina, interviewed teachers and students close to Mr. Larson. And that story, along with the others, gets laminated, signed by the winner, and then tacked onto the classroom wall for years to come. And many of the Crier staffers have shown a lot of growth over these first few months of the fall. Junior Audrey was also just nominated for an award for a profile she wrote about a new teacher at the high school. The award was through School Newspapers Online, or SNOW, which hosts online student publications, and since it's a network of a lot of school papers, that means her story was seen by high school and college journalism advisors from around the country.
I was very proud of the story, and it was a confidence booster going into, because it was my first story I wrote for Crier ever, and so it was very good.
Yeah, it was their first Crier story ever, and it sets a high bar she's trying to top with her next ones. And other students like Kate, another junior, have been expanding their repertoires beyond writing into design, although not without some frustrations along the way.
Learned a lot about InDesign and started to hate a lot of things in InDesign, but it's learning.
Another Crier colleague, Allie, says she's been getting a lot more confident too, but it still makes her a little bit nervous that everyone in school sees her designs.
Because it's kind of stressful to be like, everybody's going to be looking and my name is attached to that. But I think at the end of the day, like feeling proud of what you do and the work is a great motivator. And like every time I'm just excited to see like what I come up with and how it turns out.
The Crier's main focus is their print magazine that gets distributed to everyone at their high school. But in 2025, obviously these students don't get much of their daily news through print magazines, so I was curious about how they do get their news and if joining a student-run journalism outfit like The Crier has changed the way they consume it. Here's Allie.
Honestly, I just am scrolling on TikTok and maybe I see some sort of news, and like I feel like everything is so modern now where they have like news pages that have TikTok accounts or they have Instagram accounts. So like honestly just looking at that, and like there's more reputable sources, but also I think it's just kind of like catered toward more teenagers because like more teenagers are on TikTok and things like that to see. But also I think just like having like the AP News app and looking at that once a day.
Their Crier advisor and journalism teacher Dominic Bruno encourages them to download the Associated Press's app, and Audrey says he also sometimes does news trivia to make sure they're staying on top of important issues.
I mean, I still, like, I don't like watching the news or, like, listening, because I always feel like it's bad stuff, and it just never makes me feel good. But, like, after journalism, after taking it my freshman year, then I, like, really realized, and, like, I don't know, now I'm, like, hearing news, like, all over the place, like, I don't know, on Instagram. I used to just get, like, dog videos, but now...
Now, it's not so much that they like keeping up with the news, but they know it's important. And a couple of years ago, the Illinois State Legislature passed a law mandating that all high schools teach a unit on media literacy, understanding how to evaluate sources and identify misinformation. And Kate says she feels like the Crier and their journalism classes have given them the proper tools to do that. But also, she sees a lot of frighteningly realistic AI photos and videos on Instagram now that kind of make her second guess how good she really is at fact-checking and distinguishing fact from fiction.
I'd say like a month ago I was able to tell the difference. Now I can't. Like, she showed me a video yesterday of someone singing. I thought it was like he was actually singing. No, it was AI.
At least they've got their friends in the newsroom and a teacher to help them figure it out, one AI animal video at a time. All right, we have already made it to December, which was our final check-in with the crier. So I sat down with a few seniors who are starting to reflect on their high school experience, how important the crier's been to them, and how they'll take the skills they've learned here into the next phase of their life, whether that means pursuing a career in journalism or not. And Anna is not planning on becoming a professional reporter, but she knows how the crier's helped her become a better communicator in her daily life.
Really helps guide me into like how to talk to adults and how to be professional and have like hard conversations with people that I wouldn't normally have.
Now, she also has grown to love journalism, and specifically the process of investigating, putting together the puzzle pieces of a story she knows is important. And her story she's most proud of was a deep dive into the condition of the school's track.
It was in terrible condition. Like, people were getting injured. It was like shockingly bad for as good as our track team is. Our track team makes state every year.
And soon after that was published, the story started gaining huge traction on social media, from parents, and then her piece got picked up by their local newspaper.
And like a month later, they announced they were gonna finally do all these renovations. We got a new track last year. And so being able to feel like my story is making and initiating change was like huge for me. Like, I'm so proud of it. It won like awards. It's my favorite story ever. And it's so silly because it was literally 3 years ago and now I'm a senior and I'm still looking back and I was like, wow, it's so good. I loved it.
It was really rewarding. It was the first time she'd ever seen her writing make a tangible difference in her community. You know, before that, writing had been more solitary and personal, something you wrote for yourself, for your English teacher, but not something with a wide audience and the capacity for change. That's huge. In fact, it was kind of hard to wrap her mind around at first.
At first, I was like, oh, it wasn't me. And then my dad was like, no, Anna, you take that. Like, you can internalize that as something, like, you helped do. And it just made me feel so, like, good and, like, proud. It feels good to initiate change and to feel heard, especially as a student journalist.
Another senior, Olivia, also says the criers helped her communicate better and put herself out there. Your first time interviewing people can be kind of awkward. You have to approach someone you've never met before and then pretty quickly start asking them personal details about their life. She remembers one of her first interviews where she had to talk with a teacher she'd really never interacted with before.
How was like your early life? Like, all these questions, like I had never met him before, so I like, didn't know how to approach that.
It's also hard to put yourself out there in writing, but luckily for Olivia, that went well too.
It was my first like print story. I was really nervous about like interviewing someone, and then we voted it as like the best story of the issue. It's like on the wall, like right there by the board game one, and like I was like, I didn't think like everyone would like it, but everyone like really loved it, and I was really proud of it.
Now, another important part of any student-run group like the Crier is the social experience. You and your classmates have to put together this magazine, and sometimes your sources aren't getting back to you in time, sometimes your design software crashes, and sometimes you run headfirst into writer's block. It can be tough, but sometimes those deadlines can forge friendships. When you're tired and stressed, sometimes you just need to be silly with your friends.
I've gotten so much closer, like everyone, like literally like, we talk about the most random things, but it's like, yeah, like it's such like bonding over like creating the criers, like, yeah, very stressful, like, but like, it just like we're all so much closer now because we all understand how much work we put into it.
For senior review manager Faith, the crier has inspired her to pursue a career in journalism.
I took journalism knowing nothing really about it just to fill an elective. And for most of that year, I was going through a really bad mental health episode, and I was doing very poor with my coursework. And finally, right before like the semesters ended and the years ended, my grades was not where it needed to be, and I knew that I had to change it. So I sat down with my best friend, who is also in the crier, and she forced me to write all of my stories, and I did that, and I realized while I was doing it that I actually really enjoyed it.
In her second year, she pretty quickly realized that journalism wasn't just something she liked, and she first felt that writing a story about a homecoming Powder Puff football game.
I realized as I was going through that how good I was at working on that deadline, because I started writing it the day before the Powder Puff game, and I finished it that night, and we got it posted the next morning. And I just going through that and realizing how much I loved getting that story, and even when it was on a time crunch, which most people would have found stressful, I loved it, and I just realized, like, this is what I want to do with my life.
There are a lot of stories she's really proud of, from film reviews to columns about culture, and having her writing in print has also helped her connect with people in her life. For example, she's got a grandparent who lives in a different state but subscribes to the Crier, and they've gotten to have some good conversations about her work.
Was a web story all about what feminism really means, the history of feminism and women's rights, and how it's developed over time. And that's one that he particularly enjoyed. And it's just really nice to hear from people that you've never necessarily felt super close with, like actually like feeling impacted by your work and what your writings are.
She's at the point now where she's doing some college visits and talking with other future journalism students, and she's already seeing how much of an advantage the Crier's given her.
She said, well, my school doesn't even have a school newspaper. We don't have anything to do with journalism. I just know I really love writing, and I think the news is awesome, so I've wanted to try it. And it was so shocking to me that, like, a school wouldn't have that, and I, like, asked my mom about it, and that's when I found out that really how lucky I was.
They were all very reflective, but the school year's not done yet. They've still got a few more months before graduation, and all three of them are hoping to place at state this spring and really put an exclamation point on the last page of their Crier careers. Well, that is the end of this edition of our student correspondence segment. Thank you so much to everyone at the Crier who took the time to talk with me while under deadline. Good luck to everyone in the state competition this spring. I will be keeping my eye on sectionals. A huge thank you to the Crier's advisor, Dominic Bruno, for letting me come by the newsroom. And you can find the Kainlyn Crier's work at kainlyncrier.com and wherever you're on social media. And we'll be back with a brand new set of student correspondents next month over on the Teachers Lounge radio show, where you can follow those students' journey in real time, month by month. It's where you can also find our other exclusive segments like our classroom correspondent. And here at Teachers Lounge, we'll be back in your feed soon for our annual Education Issues to Watch episode, where we'll talk about some of the biggest education issues you should be keeping track of in 2026 during what I'm sure will be another chaotic news year. I've been your host, Peter Medlin. Thanks so much for joining us.